Hey, quick note before we dive into today's episode. I made something for you. It's a mega, truly mega spreadsheet of all of the current marketing tools that I cannot live without. Not only are they sorted by category, I made sure to do a little color coding in Notion, but I also include a few sentences on how I use each tool so you actually have context. And these are some real, truly game-changing tools that have really transformed how I run my business. So if you want the free download, I'd love to share it with you. Head to the link in the show notes. I really hope you love it and find it useful. It was good for me to just get everything on paper so that I can share it with you guys. Now let's get into today's episode. So here's the deal. I think we can all probably agree that the fear-mongering around this goddamn recession has reached an all-time high. At this point, it feels like every time, truly every time, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. I read the news, I look at something online, there's always a recession mentioned. And it kind of reminds me of like when you're on a roller coaster and you're doing that like slow climb to the top. I hate roller coasters, by the way. So clearly this is like from previous trauma. You can like hear every little creak as the cart makes its way up, and then there's that like weird stale silence in the air, and you know that the drop is about to happen and you're trying to brace yourself the best you can. Like that's how it feels right now. That's how this soon to be recession feels like. It's like looming over us. And I say fear mongering not to be dramatic or because I'm anti-facts about what's happening in the economy here around the world. I just call it fear mongering because it stresses everyone out. Like, I feel like the media's, quote-unquote, anticipation of the recession and this incessant, like, all of these articles constantly being published of, like, is it going to happen? Is it coming? Is it happening soon? Should we be scared? Should we be freaking out right now? It makes it 10 times worse. And then there's no solutions in the article. So it's just like we're, like, spinning right now of knowing that something's going to happen and not really having anything to do with helping ourselves, like making sure that we're prepared for it. So no solution for anyone, but also not even for entrepreneurs or founders, especially not ones who have left their 9-to-5 to start, you know, their dream company during the pandemic, like myself, or founders who are just trying to make it the best that they can. And then all of a sudden this pops up, especially after COVID. So, or, you know, you have a thriving brand, that would be cool, but the fear-mongering conversations happening make you really stressed. So all of the above. So I felt inspired, or even called, you could say, to like do this episode, because I've done a ton of research in studies and articles about previous recessions to see if there's any themes or trends we can pick out that might make us better as founders and entrepreneurs this time around. And my goal for you by the end of this episode is for you to just feel more relaxed about what's happening and to feel like you have some kind of grounding, I don't know, navigation tactics in your brand pocket. And I also just want to remind you that it's not the end of the world, regardless of what the media says, because they're such downers all the time. So we should probably start with what a recession actually is. So I love how the New York Times has framed it. They say recession is basically when the economy stops growing and starts shrinking. So think of it like a decline in economic activity, whether that's like shrinking gross domestic product, retail sales, employment. It's like typically a cocktail of a bunch of different factors. And here in the States, and I want to clarify that I'm based in the States, even though I love our international listeners, the reason why a recession might be coming is due to inflation, mortgage rates, and also us consumers, you know. We like talk about ourselves as founders on this podcast. We feature founders, but like we have to remember that we're also consumers as well, and we're contributing to the economy. So if you're a business owner, you're also a consumer, and you might feel like your wallet is tightening a bit right now. The challenge is when consumer spending goes down, so does the economic activity. And while it's not the sole responsibility of a single group of people to take care of the economy, like we all experience the recession together, probably just not the same. The truth of the matter is our economy still needs people to spend to survive. Now, if you're a business owner who lived through the 2008 recession, sorry to bring it up, but I just have to, you might be like, make it stop. Make it stop. Like seriously, make it stop. But the truth of the matter is recessions are just a part of the economy. So there's no real way to prevent a recession from happening full stop, regardless of who's in power or what the government tries to mandate, okay? And call me a masochist, because I don't know. I feel like as entrepreneurs, it kind of feels like we are sometimes. I think going through recession as a business owner will only make us more powerful and knowledgeable and scrappy. Like, I definitely truly believe that. And I say that as a marketer too, because in marketing, there are certain levers that you can pull to make yourself stand out more with consumers. And as we just discussed, consumers are the ones with the buying power who actually make the economy what it is. So before we get into some of the tactics, I do want to preface this podcast episode by saying that I am by no means recommending shady business practices here. I am just a firm believer in having a collection of tactics at your disposal, regardless of what might be happening in the world. I think as founders and entrepreneurs, that's really important. I also want to shed some light on the fact that this recession could be the golden opportunity for your brand growth. And I know that probably sounds like me being glass half full, even though I like to think of myself as a positive person. But like, I do believe this. By familiarizing yourself with consumer habits, their mindsets, values, you can actually find multiple ways to make your brand relevant and worthy enough of buying, even if you're considered a quote unquote like non-essential. And listen, like, I love my bamboo toilet paper just as much as the next girl, but I'd venture to say that the majority of us, probably people listening, do not have brands built around essential items. I think some people that I've had in the podcast have had essential items, or like what would be considered essential items, but the majority of founders that I know have non-essential items. So, also, by the way, the bamboo toilet paper, it's like expensive, but I was told through marketing, as a marketer, because I still fall for it, that it's better for the planet. So that's why I buy it. It's actually great. It's called Bippy. It's not sponsored, but great brand. Okay, so let's dive into the recession-proof tactic number one. I have three tactics I want to go through with you guys today. I feel like we could probably talk about this forever, but I wrote down three that I felt like really packed the most punch. So number one, during a recession, it's so important to continue to run ads and create content, maybe even more frequently now. And here's why. The all-time biggest mistake that brands make, big and small, by the way, is they see a recession coming and immediately they start to plan to cut their budget. It's by the book tactic. Like, this always happens every recession that we've had. Every brand is like, okay, I'm decreasing my spending. I can't spend right now. They're scared and they want to look great, especially if they're in a corporate like environment, because they're like, yeah, we're cutting back on our media buys. Like, we're trying to save the company money. Okay. But with this upcoming recession, brands are already starting to cut back. So even though we're like still hauling ass up that roller coaster, like, and it hasn't happened yet, brands are already starting to pull back. I'm sure if you're a founder or entrepreneur, you probably had that conversation with yourself or a business partner of like, okay, we probably need to like reevaluate our budget, our media budget, think about things a little bit differently. Now, this creates a huge advantage for smaller brands to swoop in, make themselves known. Unfortunately, as a marketer, one of the biggest mistakes I see brands make is they run ads, and this probably feels familiar. They run ads until the money runs out instead of just keeping the lights on. So I know a lot of you listening, and this is like me too with my e-commerce business, you're probably like, I have a small budget, I can only do what I can do. And I 100% get that. But this is actually like marketing science. Like, this is like studies have shown this. So according to the Journal of Advertising Research, when brands stop advertising for a year or more, sales often decline year over year following the stop in media buys. So on average, sales for these brands previously have fallen 16% after 1 year and then 25% after 2 years. And you might be like, what? That doesn't even make any sense. Like, why is that? Like, you could just like come back and promote things. Like, you don't, like, how you can come back. Like, there is a comeback strategy. So you might be like, why does this happen? Well, because when you advertise, you are mentally refreshing for a consumer the fact that your brand exists. That's one of the biggest points of advertising, is you pop up and you're like, hey, I'm here. I'm still here. Do you remember me? I'm here. And it's a mental, like, it increases the brain space for someone to be like, oh yeah, I forgot that brand existed. It's not like they're seeing your brand and they have a real reaction when they're seeing advertising. You guys know how many ads we're exposed to every single day. It is so many. So really, it's just kind of like a subconscious thing. But especially for smaller brands, this is so important. I cannot stress this enough. Create a steady advertising strategy for your brand that allows you to stay top of mind right now, create new introductions for new consumers, and have a solid retargeting strategy that continually reminds people that your brand exists. So important. I keep clapping. I need to like stop. I'm like doing like clapping like under the mic right now. I need to stop doing that. But you should do this in conjunction with organic social media content and staying highly, highly consistent. So I know too, for social media, it's like, so it's exhausting as business owners, founders, it's exhausting to continually show up, to continually create content. We know that video is table stakes right now. So if you just showed up and you created video content, you could grow organically pretty quickly if you picked up on the trends, you found ways to make them relevant to your brand. Like, that is free advertising. So do not fall off from content creation. And there are no guarantees, obviously, with social media. Like, it's not like everything you do is going to be a major hit. In fact, there's so many algorithm changes that are happening right now on TikTok and Instagram specifically. But it's like that Wayne Gretzky quote, or I talked about this on my Instagram stories actually earlier this week, of, I played basketball growing up. You have a bunch of hoops. If you only shoot in a hoop every so often, you're not maximizing the amount of points that you could earn. So just like that with a brand, as a brand, maximize the amount of shots that you can take to score the most amount of points. The higher likelihood you have of creating more content, the more awareness and consideration you're going to get, that is so critical to your brand, especially during an economic downturn. So that is recession tip number one. Number two, this is a big one. We got to think about this. Nail your copywriting to suit current consumer needs, because current consumer needs are changing and we would be silly to ignore them. So I want to be really clear here. I am not saying that your brand needs to change or compromise like your brand ethos. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying change what you value as a brand to fit what consumers are looking for. What I am saying is know what makes your customers tick and who your customers are. So you need to start to anticipate how they might be during a recession. So let's say you have a brand that's selling non-essential products like jewelry, right? I think most of us could probably agree we love jewelry. Jewelry is fun to wear, but it's a non-essential item. It's not like Kleenex. It's not like paper towels, right? If wallets are tight, then there's a high likelihood that someone's going to be rethinking buying a piece of jewelry that makes them feel special. But outside of adjusting your price, what else might get consumers to think differently if you're a jewelry brand? You need to think about how you communicate the product to your consumer. So Harvard Business School, actually, our Harvard Business Review, wrote about this during the last recession. Actually, they had a paper, a study that came out, and they mentioned that, quote unquote, treat yourself, or quote unquote, you deserve it language, helps budget conscious consumers think about product purchases differently. So just in slight copywriting tweaks, you can start to evolve the narrative during the recession where you're not changing what your brand stands for, you're not changing your values, but you're almost like showing up in a way that like it's a treat yourself type of moment. Like, treat yourself, you got this. Another big tactic that has become increasingly popular in recent years are payment plans. So how can you make your product more affordable to customers right now? If you give them the option to pay over time, that is such a gift for their wallet when they're tight on cash. There's Klarna, there's Afterpay, there's so many different vendors that offer this. If you have an e-commerce store, or if you're even selling services and you haven't thought about this, payment plans are awesome. Also, think about your consumers who have purchased from you before. How can you celebrate them and remind them that you exist? Because even though the net is really wide for you to reach new consumers, you still want to tap into the consumers and people that have already bought from you. So a simple thing that I actually do for my e-commerce business is I mail each customer who's bought something, I do this, a handwritten note, and I thank them for shopping my small business. I then create an exclusive discount code in my Shopify store for them that includes their name that they can use for the next 3 purchases. So not only does this make consumers feel really special, like my customers like will send me messages like, that was so kind, thank you for the note, which is like crazy because it's like such a small, simple thing to do. But also in conjunction with retargeted advertising, doing this and then having retargeted content like going out to them, it reminds them that when they have a need, I have them covered and that I exist. So it's just a quick, simple tactic to get back in front of your previous customers. And the truth of the matter is you don't need to change what you're selling, just how you sell it. And that's where the great copywriting comes in. So I really want you to think about that differently as we're approaching this quote unquote recession. I say quote, it is happening. I try to pretend like it's not because of the media, but it's happening. That's why we're doing this episode. Okay. Number 3, find long-lasting ways to improve affordability. So similarly to the payment plans I mentioned before, I want to hone in on this a little more. Nowhere, to be clear, nowhere am I saying to drastically cut your prices. I think as founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, we start to like scramble and we start to be like, well, shit, I have to reduce my costs. I have to reduce my prices because how else is someone going to want to buy from me? But I also just don't think that that's a great long-term strategy. And if you look at sales trends and you look at how when brands have brought their price down, it almost like makes them more at playing field with their competitors, and it makes them stand out less. So I don't think it's a viable strategy to reduce your price. What I am saying is find creative ways to better communicate your affordability in case we see some of these consumer attitudes around price stick around a little bit longer. So one of my favorite ways to increase purchase activity while also still highlighting affordability is bundles. Whether you're a service provider or you're a product-based business, bundles are a fantastic way to have your customers consider bigger purchases because of perceived values. Also, I think for bundles, gifts, like if you have, if you message things as like a gift too, like a bundle is a gift, and it could be like packaged really cute, that is such an awesome way to remind people to buy. So they could be saving money, getting more product, or it could be a treat yourself moment, as we talked about before. But research actually shows that bundles are super effective. So I think instead of bringing your price down, see how you can pair relevant things together to make it feel like, well, they are getting more, their consumer is getting more stuff, but you're also getting a bigger sale, and it's more valuable for you too as a brand. And on top of introducing bundles, find a way to communicate the value. A great way to do this is through social proof from another customer that explicitly mentions the value that you get for the price. So this is also really, really big. You have to, similarly to what we talked about before, your copywriting, the way that you're communicating, you need to make sure that it speaks to the problems that consumers are having. If you have social proof or testimonials that are just like, wow, I love this product, it's great, it's like, okay, that's fine. But is that really going to move the needle in a time when you need it to? So if I were a brand with a physical product, I would include social proof or testimonial on a product page to reinforce the deal that customers could be getting. So if you're on an e-commerce website, finding a way, maybe it's not above the fold, maybe it's not at the top of the page, but maybe as people are scrolling down, right, there's a little testimonial that speaks to value. I'd also include this as part of a UGC ad or campaign. So if you're not familiar with UGC ads, they're user-generated content that brands can use to promote their products. They work so well. They're pretty much everywhere. If you see someone with an influencer and a product, and it's very organic and it feels really natural. They're everywhere on Instagram or TikTok, but these UGC videos created for brands look and feel super organic, but they're organized by the brand with specific talking points. So you actually get to say, hey, can you create this? Here are like the things that I would like you to highlight. If you wanted to get UGC content made for you, you could do an ambassador program, which I've seen a lot of brands do, or you could use a like tap into a UGC agency or platform. There's this platform I've used called Billo. It's B-I-L-L-O before, and the content is great. Basically what happens, you sign up, you create like your little brief on the platform, and then they send it out to influencers. Influencers or UGC creators, they can apply, and then you send them free product and payment, and then they do the ad for you. They send you the content. So it's not, sorry, I misspoke. It's not influencers. It's specifically UGC creators who use their face and their likeness to talk about your brand. So very effective though. So Billo is awesome. And those are really my like three recession tips. Like I could probably go on forever, but I think those are like the really big ones. I think it really just comes down to understanding who your customer is and making sure that you're speaking to them in a time where things might be changing for them. Like, and I also want to remind you that us founders, we're super, super strong. We have like the thickest skin of just about anyone out there. And if we can thrive in a recession, then the next one is going to be a cakewalk, because there's always going to be another one. But the next one, we're going to be super solid in. So if you liked this episode, you found it valuable, please let me know either through the email that I have in the show notes, on Instagram at the Next Big Thing Pod, or even just through a review. I think I'm going to start switching up the style of these podcasts a bit more to do solo episodes. So I'm eager to hear your thoughts and if this was helpful. But thank you guys so much. Don't stress out about the recession. Also, if you have questions, feel free to email me. But yeah, we got this, and I will catch you guys in the next episode. Have a good one.